Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
And then okay. When you're ready to start again, click.
Okay.
Start, stop.
Thank you so much. Have a great
time. Thank
you. See you in a bit. See you later.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
So you got cancelled by the environmentalists this week for using balloons?
Oh my God.
How does it feel to be single-handedly responsible for destroying the planet?
Honestly, Tid, it feels awful. I've been crying. I've been not able to sleep.
What?
I felt so
bad. Oh, for
bad.
Fuck's sake.
No, it's true. They've got a really good point. So basically...
So do the balloons kill the animals even though they're biodegradable?
Yeah, well, apparently... I think they do.
Do they?
Yeah, I think. Well, according to Twitter, they. So what happened is, me and my theatre company have launched a campaign about better rights for young carers, and we have been absolutely mega trolled, like just so mega trolled. I want these people to join our campaign and campaign for us. I've replied to every person individually as me and said, I am so sorry. I thought I'd done my research into how to promote this issue, and I have failed, and I'm full of hatred for myself.
Helen.
And
but you shouldn't be. You made a mistake. It's not like willfully.
To be fair to a lot of them, some of them haven't replied, but some of them have replied saying, I've signed your petition.
Okay, that's good.
And actually, it's worked. I'm never, ever going to touch a balloon or go near a balloon ever again.
I sent Helen that viral video that's going around of that guy popping all those balloons that just said you after you're getting owned by the environmentalists.
I just couldn't believe I spent like honestly so much money on these biodegradable balloons.
Yeah.
I found this website, got them ordered next day delivery, which in itself was
how much did it cost?
The next day delivery was £25. The balloons were maybe like £25.
Okay.
So like considering
So 50 quid
got a lot of money.
Murder a load of animals.
Don't. I can't. I honestly can't cope with it. But it's very effective. And if you tweeted me, I do sincerely take on board everything.
You do. That's the thing.
Said.
You take on board stuff. And I feel like the way Twitter is now, it just assumes everyone's going to take everything in bad faith.
Well, that's what some people replied, saying thanks so much for actually responding and not being defensive. But I then looked on their Twitter. The reason people are being defensive, they will literally find a balloon release. There was one that was like a two-year-old's had died and it was their one-year anniversary of their death and they'd done a balloon release. And this dude had just posted a picture of a dead pigeon like, I hope you're all ashamed of yourselves.
Their fucking kid died. This is why people don't want to save the planet.
I know. It is.
Because like, what? We're going to save the planet and be stuck with you lot. Jesus Christ, I hope we all die. I hope we all die.
Oh, God. Awful.
Horrific.
Awful. But got some extra names on my petition.
Yeah.
Just apologise if you do something wrong. If it's genuinely in good faith, which it was, I really, really thought I'd done my research.
Yeah, you didn't. You thought that the balloons would just instantly disappear when you...
What I actually thought would happen is someone would find the balloon, take a picture with it, tweet me. But I think we did the balloon release. I had to cut the video early because the balloons then all just came back down to the ground because I'd not blown them up properly. So actually, I should let the environmentalists know I had to then run around collecting them all. Everybody should sign my petition. Can I do a...
Yeah, let's do it.
Can I do a thing? So for the last 4 years... My theatre company, Lung, have been working with these four young carers in Salford. It's mostly Matt, who I co-run the company with, Baby. But we made a play called Who Cares, which is made out of interviews that we did with them. And out of the back of that, we've launched a parliamentary petition, guys. So go to @WhoCaresAction on Twitter, @WhoCaresCampaign on Instagram. We're calling for three really specific things. And you can go read about them at... Who Cares Action Hashtag who cares campaign. The end. Thanks, guys. And don't do a balloon release because it's bad. And also you'll feel guilty for the rest of your life. So who are we talking about? So wait, we should explain.
Okay. Listen, if you're here by now and you don't know what you've got yourselves in for, get out while
every
you still
week
can.
We talk about a different person. We dissect them. We delve into them and we go wildly off track. This is bitching. Strap in. Strap on. Accidentally nearly said strap on.
Wow. Friday and slip.
What I've been doing this weekend. This week, we're going to be talking about...
Dominic Cummings.
Speaking of strap-ons. Doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Shall I weed? Shall I weed his Wikipedia? Dominic Cummings, born the 25th of November 1971... which makes him 47.
Oh!
Is a British political strategist. From 2007 to 2014, arguably the worst thing he did, he was the special advisor to the then Education Secretary, Michael Poohhead Gove. In 2015 to 2016, he was the campaign director of Vote Leave,
yes,
an organisation opposed to continuing UK membership of the European Union. We know... He, in June 2019, the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, appointed him to the role of special advisor to the government.
Yes. Dominic Cummings. So here's what I did in my research, Dominic Cummings. I read his most recent blog, which is all about how he believes technology and AI can improve the decision-making of our politicians. He doesn't like politicians, but is now very closely aligned with the Prime Minister. But a lot of what had motivated him to join the Vote Leave campaign... Well, first of all, when they appointed him, they said, we're going to give you absolute control of the movement. That's what made him say, OK, yeah, I'll do it. And also a complete contempt for the Westminster class.
And he says he's not aligned to any political party,
He doesn't identify as anything. It seems to me he wants things to be efficient and well-run. And, I mean, this could just be the blog that I read. Kind of the less human things are, the better. Because we kind of fuck everything up.
So he wants... Case in point. What does he want the robots to do to control
He was talking about how, there was a photo of the Cobra Room. You know the special Cobra Room? The only one that there is. And he was just saying, look how fucking shit this room is. Like, how can we expect our politicians to make decisions when they haven't got the most cutting-edge technology to enable them to make those decisions? So he, in his... mind, what will happen is you'll have like a AI table that can literally like do the calculations in front of you for what would happen if you cut this many police officers or you cut this many. Or I mean, not that he didn't say that in his blog, but that it's basically the idea that policy can be informed by evidence rather than relying on any politician to have a single brain cell. Instead, you can have technology better our politicians and
but
make
we
them
already
make better
have
decisions.
Robot politicians, am I right?
Am I right, guys? Woo!
You know what
Tough
I mean.
Crowd.
It's another way of separating the human. The whole problem with politics is it's void of empathy. I think the idea of pushing that even further, that it's based purely on like numbers and statistics and... Because this is the George Monbiot thing, which I don't fully understand, but I love him. And I think you just go read George Monbiot, where he's like, the whole problem with our political structure is that it's always about growth and GDP number hitting. And actually, we need to restructure the way we view success, political success, into not being that. Because obviously, that's really bad for the planet, because it means that we're increasing our consumption. But it's also really bad for poverty, because it means this huge divide is happening between the rich and poor as a result of it. So it depends what you're programming those computers to be measuring. Like, if they're just measuring, this will be the most efficient thing for the economy, in quotation marks, the economy doesn't actually look after people at the moment. So basically, he is bad, based on this one article.
But I'm not... The thing is that... Look, I voted Remain, obviously, but I don't just want to be like, oh, it's bad and Brexit's bad and everyone who voted Brexit is a fucking idiot. And it's like, it's not constructive, it's not helpful to just like, I was talking about this the other day with my boyfriend, and I was like, you literally could have, like, done something like, done a referendum that was like, are you sad? Yes or no? Like, I'm also reading this book, which is nothing to do with Brexit. It's, you know, Philippa Perry. No. She's a psychotherapist, and it's one of the School of Life books. It's called How to Stay Sane. I've only read a couple of chapters of it. So they did this experiment where in epileptic people, they had divided the right and the left brain to help with people's fits. And they then did experiments on these people where they showed the right brain something and not the left brain something. So the right brain is everything that controls our emotions and feelings and everything. And then the left brain is our clever brain. I don't have a left brain. So they only showed the right brain this picture and it just said walk. So they would all get up and walk. And now you'd think that they'd be like, oh, I don't know why I got up and walked. I just felt like it or whatever. But they all came up with a reason why they walked.
Wow.
So they all said like, oh, I wanted a glass of water or
wow.
I really needed to go to the bathroom or something. Like they always made up a reason why.
That's amazing. So we restructure always our own narrative of our own motivation of that's always why you're never wrong in an argument, are you?
And I think that's why a lot of political conversation about why people feel certain ways or why people voted certain ways that they do. Like, I think so much of Brexit is like people's personal dissatisfaction with their own lives, that people are sad and disconnected.
Yeah.
And I think genuinely that people then came up with their own reasons why they did it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. I think it's not about holding the people who voted accountable, but I do think we can hold people like Dominic Cummings accountable.
Yeah, completely.
Because what he was essentially, so he came up with the take back control.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's the walk, isn't it? That's the instruction in your brain to, if you then connect that with the fact that you feel all these things. But I think sometimes people, like, I know a man who voted Leave, who's really contented, quite wealthy, like, has his life set up, but he just genuinely believes that the EU is robbing this country of loads of money, and also that because of the papers that he reads and because of the narrative that's been formed.
Yeah.
And then if you've got a big campaign that says take back control, and that then just confirmation biases all the things that have already been fed in about the EU.
Yeah.
And then you've got two choices on the day, and you're going to go to vote before you crack on with everything else. Like, I don't think for everybody it was necessarily even that deeper discontent with the country. It was just, that seems the logical thing to do because of all this information I've been given, tick the box. And I think Dominic Cummings is really responsible for all of that. Not to put everything on one man, because that would be giving him
but the thing is I think, so him and David Cameron hate each other.
Yeah,
I can't remember what David Cameron called him.
He called him a career psychopath. Which, I mean, fair
coming
play.
From David Cameron, you must be a real piece of work.
But I don't think they've actually met. I don't think they've ever met because, so there's an, I can't believe I'm doing this again. There's an episode of Today in Focus, which is the Guardian podcast.
Yeah, Today in Focus.
Mate, I love it. It's great if you're dyslexic because it means you don't have to read the news. They just say it into your ear. And there's an episode on Dominic Cummings with the man who wrote the thing about
James Graham.
James Graham. Cool. And James Graham was saying that he met Dominic Cummings because he kind of had to. So he wrote Brexit.
Yeah, of course.
He wrote the TV series that was called A Brexit and Untold something.
Let's Google it. So, Brexit drama.
An Uncivil War.
Brexit the Uncivil War. In which Benedict Cumberbatch plays Dominic Cummings.
Yeah. And he said that he met him after he'd written the part of Dominic Cummings because he kind of had to just let him know it was happening and check he was all right with it and stuff. And he said, he was saying in this interview that he's met him more times than David Cameron has, but they're just super aware of each other's influence. And obviously, David Cameron was very, very close with Michael Gove, and Dominic Cummings was a special advisor to Michael Gove. So he knows him, but James Graham's kind of thinking is that he's slightly almost like this villain within politics, because if you've not met him but you just know the things that he's done, it's really easy to kind of dehumanize him. I think what I really like about the fact that he's suddenly become in the public eye is it makes you more conscious. I say in the public eye, I still think most people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But what's been great about James Graham, I think that shows the power of art, the fact that he made this TV show about this real person and said, look, it's not just the people who are fronting this campaign, it's the people behind it. And it made me aware of the fact that Dominic, like, I just thought Michael Gove was responsible for all of the education policy that happened when he was the education secretary. And actually, there's this man behind him, Dominic Cummings, who's also really, really accountable, who is invisible in a way.
Yeah.
And I think what's important about talking about these people is recognising that often the politicians actually, and David Cameron was this a bit, are slightly the puppets, and there's a lot of people with their hands up the bum, like telling them what to do.
We don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But the thing I'll say for Dominic Cummings is he'll show you who he is, like on his blog. Like literally, he's written like this, he writes like these 10,000 word things about his ideas and like what motivates him and what he believes in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not an elected member of parliament. And then also, I'm like, if you've got all these principles, why are you now working with Boris Johnson? I mean, I would assume it's because he believes that he can twist Boris's ear and get him to implement some things that he believes are good things. But
he's also just really good at running a campaign.
Mm.
And that's what Boris Johnson is a big walking, talking campaign.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, you're completely right. He probably thinks, you know, he'll be the figurehead and he'll be the
puppeteer.
The dark lord behind the scenes.
Dark lord.
But, like, I think, I mean, let's be honest, David Cameron, in your shed, wherever you are.
R.I.P.
Honestly, fuck you, mate. Honestly, fuck you. Sincerely, fuck you. But I don't think they would have won. I don't think Farage is as responsible for Brexit as Dominic Cummings.
That's interesting because they have a real rivalry.
Because Farage is good at appearing on TV and all the rest of it. But Dominic Cummings actually understands human psychology and like why people do the things they do and how to motivate people to go and vote. He utilised technology in a way no one had ever done
like
before.
Facebook to post all those adverts.
Yeah, and quite possibly in a slightly criminal manner. I don't know the details of it. And like he always says that he hacked the election. That's the phrase that he uses that himself on his blog. He says that he hacked the election.
As in the election of
hacked the referendum, sorry.
Wow. That's like, kind of mad to own that.
I know.
But this is what I also think is amazing about him is I just wish he shared my values because he's so successful at implementing things and getting things done and slightly manipulating the general public. And you just think, imagine if what he was fighting for is like...
The left's not any good at that because we just spend too much time apologising for things.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry about the balloon release. I've been up all night crying. Helen, write a manifesto. It's okay. We forgive you about the balloons. Just run for office, for God's sake.
But also, I do think in theory, maybe this is me being a bit ideological about the left, but I think because actually what we believe in is people's right to choose and genuine liberalism where people don't have to always necessarily agree and it's not about brainwashing anybody, or at least that's what I believe. I don't think that there's that many successful people in the left who are good at actually like getting everybody in the same room to
organising people.
Yeah, and there's so much debate about the nuance of everything that to actually just slightly put your values to one side and just go, we're going to get behind this slogan that says take back control because that's what will completely simplify things. And the left aren't quite able to do that because you're like, well, but what if that includes the free market and actually and all of that? Guys, just put your values to one side. We need a good campaign manager.
Let's just have it put your values to one side and vote for Helen Monks.
Vote for me.
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Would you ever become a politician?
No, definitely not. It's not worth the strain to your mental health. Like, even if you are a bit of a psychopath. I mean, even Dominic Cummings isn't running for office. He's not putting himself out there because it's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
You've got to be someone like Boris Johnson, who just sees it all as a big game. I'm finally gonna be prime minister. I've never heard him. I can't remember what he sounds like. I'm gonna be prime minister. One day.
He sounds like the crazy frog, don't you think? We're doing Boris Johnson. We need to not.
We need to do some research. I know I do. What was I saying?
You were saying how even Dominic Cummings doesn't actually run.
Because why nowadays? You have to be someone of no character or of such character that it's all you can do. Like, you either have to be someone so out for yourself and good at all the things that a politician is good at, or you have to be someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
Who I believe, as cynical as I am, is doing what she's doing because she truly believes that she can make the world a better place, which makes me emotional. Because maybe she can't, because she's working in a system that's just so filled with people who have literally sold their souls to big businesses.
Because I do think there's a huge... I think it can't be a complete coincidence that every single politician has sacrificed on some level their values or isn't quite a... And by politician, I mean the people in cabinet, really. I think local MPs are slightly fighting the system as really good ones who are just representing their constituency.
Yeah, completely. But those are never the ones who are put forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the reason, you know, someone like Jeremy Corbyn was on the backbenches for so many years is because he never wanted to... And I mean, he's not perfect. I'm not saying he's perfect. I've got lots of problems with Jeremy Corbyn. But he is principled and he's someone who's always stood for what he personally believes in. And you can't say the same of many other...
Yeah. But don't you think that him at the moment is evidence that that doesn't work within our political system? He's such a weak leader and that's because he absolutely does not like putting his principles to one side. So with
to
Brexit,
get things done, yeah.
I completely... What he's trying to do, genuinely, I think, is have a balance between representing the people within Labour who voted to leave and the fact that he thinks we should leave within a socialist government and also representing the people who voted to remain.
Because he wants to leave so that he can implement some socialist policies that aren't controlled by the EU.
Exactly. Which, obviously, is not going to happen, but it's an ideology. So he can't say, we should remain, because he fundamentally thinks, and there's a point to this, that the EU is part of a bigger capitalist structure that's actually corrupt and not very transparent.
But others would argue it's, initially anyway, it was supposed to stop us all fighting each other and, you know.
Yeah, that worked out. Well, I guess it kind of did.
It kind of did.
Yeah.
For now, anyway.
For now.
Until the resources start running out. I'll see you in the bunker.
So Jeff Lloyd from Reasons to be Cheerful podcast recommended on the podcast a podcast.
Our podcast? No, because we've never said a single fact on this podcast.
He says he wants to come on, though.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. We're going to have some men on next.
Yeah, get them in.
Yeah.
Get those listening figures up.
Yes.
Jeff Lloyd recommended on Reasons to be Cheerful podcast another podcast called The Nuclear Hobo, which I do not recommend listening to, but also it's the best.
What is it?
So it's it just made me think of it when you were saying, oh, we've stopped, technically we all stopped fighting each other, but it's about the nuclear war and the nuclear war that could have happened. And the woman who narrates it says she's a researcher into all of the plans that the government had drafted up for if nuclear war did happen, because they all exist and are archived.
Okay.
And they are fascinating. And she believes we should study that war as much as we should study other wars, because the only reason it didn't happen is pure luck. She's like, this so nearly happened and we need to look at all the reasons why and all the things that got us to that point, and also just be aware of the detrimental effects that would have been if it had have happened. And she, like, the first episode is Burial of the Dead, and she talks through all the plans for how they were going to bury all the bodies.
There's one on
that's like how to dispose of your pets, and apparently there was a video of how to shoot your own dog in the head. Oh my god, what, she goes round and visits nuclear bunkers that still all exist, and she really encourages us all go and support our local nuclear bunker, because she views them as like historical places that we should all be researching and respecting. It's such a horrendous podcast to fall asleep to. You have so many nightmares. Can we talk about when he was my education secretary? Sorry to do another plug.
Yeah.
My play, Trojan Horse, is going on tour.
My play, Trojan Horse.
I've written a play. It's going on tour this autumn. It's going all over. It's coming to Battersea Arts Centre in November. Midlands Arts Centre. Leeds Playhouse is where it's opening. The Lowry in Salford.
Great.
Newcastle, Liverpool, Wales.
Woo!
The whole of Wales.
Woo!
So have a look when we release some dates, which I don't think they've all been released yet. But basically, it's about the government's inquiry into potential radicalisation that was happening in Birmingham schools in 2014 when Michael Gove was Education Secretary. And he's a big, old, racist, horrible man.
Michael Gove.
Yeah. But it slightly made me rethink about what was Cummings' accountability within it all. I can't quite be bothered to tell you the whole story about Trojan Horse, but do your own Googling. Actually, if you Google it, it all just says it happened and it was really bad. And
It didn't happen.
But it's the reason that Prevent is now compulsory in schools.
But do you know what Dominic Cummings' involvement was in Michael Gove's decision to...
No, but what I would say is the reason that this was all kind of... The reason it all manifested is because... What people always say about Michael Gove is that he's an incredibly fast politician. And again, if you liked his politics, you might really view this as a good thing, because he, as soon as he became Education Secretary, the amount of schools that became academies was just like second to none. He just like rolls things out and he gets things done really speedily.
Mm.
And the problem with academies is it then means there's massive structural changes within all these schools.
I know that Dominic Cummings wanted to set up his own preschool. Yeah. So I assume that he was part of developing the academies and that.
I assume so. Well, that was his plan when he left. He was going to go and... Which I also just think... So one of the things all these... people in Birmingham were accused of is this idea of taking over schools. And I think it's such a thing that happens all the time. So apparently the education secretary is always the most hated position within cabinet, just like from the public, because we've all got a view on how we should educate our children.
Yeah.
And it's always to do with ideology, but it's also always to do with ego. We all think that we can go in and save all these kids.
Yeah.
And Dominic Cummings is exactly the same, where he wants to go set up a school, be the person who creates the ideology for what those kids are being taught. Like, it's always about ego and you thinking that you have the answers and you know best. And that's the whole way that academies kind of run, is this idea of, like, in theory, the local community running their school. But what you always end up is with some Billy Big Bollocks at the head of the head of the chain having a huge amount of influence over what the education of children is. And sometimes that works really well if the person at the top is... got really fantastic ideas and it gives them lots of freedom, but it also means there's no kind of regulation of the difference between how different schools are run. And obviously, like, schools is the huge starting point of where those class divisions happen and where your education completely determines loads of things about you, where you go to school and what opportunities that school gives you. And it's just another way in which everything's becoming divided, and the fact he wanted to go set up a big free school makes me think he's a big poo head.
Yeah. There's just an enormous amount of arrogance, I feel like, sometimes with these really intelligent people. He is clearly very intelligent, but like reading his blog. So, like, it's like this really erudite essay. And then he just starts talking about Anki, which is like this computer flashcard program, which lots of people use to learn languages. I've used it before. This is Dominic Cummings on his blog. I have used Anki since reading Nielsen's blog, and I can feel it making a big difference to my mind/thoughts. How often is this true of things you read? And then in bold and in capitals, download Anki now and use it! All right, fucking hell! Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't fucking know what's good for my mind might not be good for your mind.
But do you know what I really empathise with? And I empathise with, actually, like, I'm slightly contradicting myself, but the idea of just thinking, we just need to just crack on
and just need to get it done. Yeah.
Just come on, everyone. Because you slightly feel like, actually, what sometimes you do need is someone to just be in charge and take control. And because people waffle around loads. And
take back control.
Take back control. And I like people who just crack on.
How does it feel to be responsible for Brexit, Helen?
Because of my balloons.
Because of your balloons.
I'm so
the balloons
sorry.
Did it.
Do you know what? Maybe it will all be fine. Someone was saying to me they think what's going to happen is that we'll have no deal and then the police will have to take over.
The army, not the fucking police.
That's what I mean, the army. We'll have a police state and then it will mean that we basically have communism. And they were like, so it's all going to be great.
What, communism with Boris Johnson at the helm? Who's this friend?
Well, we'll pull his head off.
I'll cut that out. Hard left millennial, deeply unfunny and stupid.
Who was it? Who was the comedian who said that they wanted to shoot somebody or kill somebody?
Kathy Griffin did a photo shoot where she was holding Donald Trump's severed head. And then she got cancelled for it.
Funny.
Legend.
Legend.
We stand.
That was Dominic Cummings.
Is your voice okay?
I've gone a bit high. I've done too much helium.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys. We've missed you.
A podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music was by Dave Cribb and our artwork was by Luke W. Robson.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.